headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Thank you for being with us, America. The phone number is 888-825-5225. Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality, host of The Ken Coleman Show, and author of the number one best-selling book, Paycheck to Purpose, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Donna, starting off this hour, Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Donna, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
So I am looking at retiring within 5 years, but I want to get my dream car before I retire, and I hope to have it this year. So I'm calling because with my financial profile, I want to know what would you do if you were in my shoes.
Okay. What is your net worth? How much of a nest egg do you have?
Well, I'm single, I'm 62, and I have a retirement fund that's valued at $533,000. I do have a home, but I have a mortgage that is about $97,000 is left on it.
What's it worth?
About $275,000.
Okay. All right. So you got a net worth of about $750,000. And Yes. You have any money other than that?
Not really. I just have my emergency fund.
Okay. And what's a dream car cost?
The dream car is a used car, and I'm budgeting $40,000 for it. It would be maybe like a Lexus. I want an SUV, so it would be maybe a Lexus or a Volvo or maybe a Genesis if mm-hmm. I could find one within my price range.
I like it. And what do you make?
My gross amount is $163,000. Mm-hmm. My take-home is $93,000, and I guess that's about $7,200 each month.
Okay. What have you got coming out of your check?
I know. I seem to have a lot. I looked at that, too, and it was like great day in the morning. I mean, I have my medical insurance, my dental. I have my retirement money. That comes out, vision, and I'm single, and I pay a lot in taxes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Whoa, we don't pay that much in taxes, but okay. All right. Wow, good for you. Well, whenever you can pay cash for it, I would buy it.
So, Dave, here's the thing. Here it comes with my plan. Because I can take money from my retirement without being penalized for it, I was, and the goal is what I would like to do, but I don't have to. I'm just telling you in my heart mm-hmm. what I would like to do. I would like to buy this car maybe this year or next year at 62, 63, so that I can have some years of driving it.
Well, you're like 20. I mean, years.
20 years for driving?
You make $163,000. Yeah, I mean, you're probably driving to your 80.
I hope so.
I do, too. Or you'll be gone. Well, I mean, there's a lot of choices here, but yeah. I just bought a truck, and I never dreamed it would be the last truck I would ever buy. I never thought about it, and I'm 62 also, so I just don't think that way. But the too much drama on this car purchase. But yeah, I don't know why you can't save up $40,000 making $160,000. Like in a year.
I don't know
in a year.
Why either, but my
in
numbers went. Oh, I'm sorry.
What, in a year. In a year. 1 year.
In 1 year?
Yes. $40,000 out of $160,000.
Now, I'm also trying to pay down my house. So I'm also taking a lot of that take home money and throwing it at my mortgage. Also,
that's that old money's finite thing. It's going to go one place or the other.
Right.
So if you want to slow down the paying of your house, I would do that before I would pull money from retirement.
Okay. Yes.
But I do want you to get your house paid off. I don't want you to buy this car, and I want you to keep putting money in retirement. I'd love the house to be done before you retire.
Right. And that's what I wanted to do, too.
Yeah. Buy the car. Yeah.
Before I retire, because I'm debt-free except for...
Yep. Your house is debt free, and you've got $550,000 that turns into $700,000 or whatever. And you got a paid for car and your emergency funds in place. That's what we call being set up for retirement. You did a great job then, but you need to try to lay out the numbers. I don't care which order we do it in. Let's pay off the house and then buy the car, or buy the car and then pay off the house. But I would not drain retirement to do it. I don't think you need to here. I think you got a fabulous income, Donna, and you got a lot of options.
Yeah. And she's been disciplined, you know,
so far.
And now all of a sudden it's like, I got to have this car right now, you know? And you know what? The thing about the car is that it'll be very exciting for her for about a month. And then you pretty much adapt pretty quickly. That's just how we humans are. It kind of wears off no matter how awesome it is. Doesn't mean you don't appreciate it. Doesn't mean you're not grateful for it. But the buzz that she's feeling right now, the pull, it's going to wear off pretty quick.
Yeah, it's a car. It just, I mean,
maybe a $30,000 car. You know? Why does it got to be 40?
Oh, there you go. And then move up later in car. Buy a 30 and then buy a 50 later, like after you retire.
I mean, if the goal is to pay off a house, then I wouldn't stop that much. I wouldn't slow down very much on that.
You know, cars are interesting emotionally.
Yeah, oh, big
because
time.
They're a large physical item.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to think when we buy one that it's going to be around longer than it is.
Mm.
It has because it's large,
yep.
Takes up space.
Mm-hmm.
It feels emotionally like it's going to be around. And we really go through more cars than most of us think.
Oh, sure.
She's the way she's talking about that, she's going to have it for 20 years. You know, and probably not, really.
Mm-mm.
Probably not. I mean, a 20-year-old, if you've got $1 million net worth, you know, a 20-year-old SUV is probably not what you're driving.
Right. Well, just to be real,
even if you're 80.
A Lexus SUV at $40,000 still's got a good chunk of miles on it. You know, it's not a low mile product. Those SUVs are expensive.
No, yeah. I heard the rumor.
Yeah, right. So, which is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's fine, but it's interesting. We assign the type of permanence to a car purchase that we assign emotionally that we assign to buying a house,
mm-hmm.
And it's just not the same.
No,
you can jump in and out of cars. You don't want to, but I mean. If she bought that, my point is 3 years from now, she could easily upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Buy a 25.
Yeah, it's probably a sizable upgrade for
you know,
her.
And then move to a 50.
That's correct.
You know, 3 years from now, after the house is paid off and you're 65. And because it's not like you are, you know, you can buy a car at 65 and never buy another car again in your life. You
right.
can do it. But, you know, as long as your health holds out and your ability to drive holds out, it's not likely.
Yeah.
You're likely going to upgrade, change, do something. How long do people generally keep a car in America? Not that long, really. It'll fool you. I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off. Yeah, it says everybody, and nobody does it.
It's true.
It just doesn't happen very often. This is The Ramsey Show. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host. A lot of folks have questions about taxes right now. We get that. Here's a question from one of our listeners. What's the difference between an itemized deduction and the standard deduction? Well, the standard deduction is a set amount that you can subtract from your taxable income. It's like your automatic tax freebie. The amount you can deduct based on your filing status, let's say you're single, you make $70,000, your standard deduction knocks off $13,000, so you only pay taxes on about $57,000. An itemized deduction is one of the specific expenses the IRS allows you to deduct from your taxable income when it's time to file your taxes, stuff like charitable giving, your home interest, that kind of thing. And so in the example of the guy above, if you're giving and your itemized deductions, your giving, your home interest doesn't exceed $13,000, then you would not do itemized. You would just take the standard deduction because you get more savings on your taxes than you can actually write off with the standard deduction that's given to you before you do anything else. That's the way this thing works. Now, here's what's interesting. They raised the standard deduction considerably. It's up to $27,700 for a married couple. You don't pay taxes on $27,000, okay, to the point that you've got to have very serious itemized deductions. That was raised under the Trump administration. You have to have very, very serious itemized deductions to even bother with doing an itemized filing. And consequently, only 13% of Americans last year did itemized. 87% did standard. So let me help you with another part of that then that's interesting. The idea I'm going to keep my home mortgage because of the tax deduction doesn't apply unless you don't take the standard deduction. So, and 87% don't. So people saying they're going to keep their home mortgage for the tax savings is mathematically a bunch of crap, because most of you aren't. 87% of you are not writing off your home mortgage. You're taking the standard deduction. And so that's just malarkey. So that's just kind of how the tax thing works there. Most people are going to take the standard deduction. Again, 87% do. And the reason is a married couple would be as high as 27.7. Single, 13,000, some change. There you go. So for more tax tips and software that can help you file with confidence, go to RamseySolutions.com/smarttax. Ramsey Smart Tax guides you through the online filing process with low upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and we're not going to try to sell you a credit card like they do at TurboTax. So just want to be real clear about that. RamseySolutions.com/smarttax. Lee is in Denver. Hey, Lee, what's up?
Hi. So my question is, how do you prepare for what feels like a perpetual financial disaster? It's like I get through step one and start working on step two, and then something comes up and step one is totally back to zero.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of drama. Perpetual financial disaster is not one I've ever heard. That's interesting. So you can't seem to get ahead because you keep getting kicked off the ladder. Is that what you're saying?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. So what happened? Give me like two or three of the examples.
Okay, so it really starts back in November. My boyfriend broke up with me and moved out, and I was stuck paying for the place I live by myself, which is $1,600 a month.
Have you moved?
And then, no, and the reason I'm not moving is I did find a roommate, but my landlord actually really likes me as a tenant and said that he would drop my rent $200 if I signed another lease come May.
What do you make?
So last year I made about $60,000. Right now it's looking like way less than that because I started a new job in pursuit of a career instead of a dead-end job.
Okay, this is not a perpetual financial disaster. This is perpetual bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that is really causing a financial disaster is I got a car a year and a half ago. I've been working on paying it off because it does have high interest on it, and it got stolen 2 weeks ago, so it took away.
Praise God. Did it have insurance?
I did, yeah.
Good. Coverage. You got out of the high interest rate. They're going to pay it off, right?
No, so I'm upside down in the car, and because of how essential my car is, they're not totaling it. There wasn't a lot of damage. They found it the next day. So I'm still stuck with the car. And what I do with it is, I mean, I travel for I am in healthcare. I do sleep studies, but I also drive for Uber on the side to kind of supplement what I'm making in healthcare.
So how much do you owe on this disaster of a car?
About $10,000, and it's worth maybe $7,500.
And how much are they going to give you for the damage?
They're paying, I think, about $3,500 is the damage estimate on it, so not enough to total out the car.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your interest rate?
21%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I I'll repeat myself. You have not had perpetual financial disasters. You've had perpetual bad decisions.
Okay.
21% is in the stupid zone. Signing up for a lease you can't afford with your live-in boyfriend who takes off is in the stupid zone. You set yourself up for these things. These weren't things that happened to you. You caused them.
Okay.
So that if you want to stop having them, then that's the way to fix it, is we've got to start thinking with a clearer head. So what if I woke up in your shoes, what I'm going to do is put $3,500 on this car, and I'm going to work day and night, night and day, have absolutely no life until I get this car paid off, and I'm going to move out of this stupid apartment you can't afford with a roommate that isn't going to pay. That's your next bad decision, and get you something very, very cheap that you can afford. Because if you had a lower rent and no car payment and you worked like a crazy person, you could have some money.
Mm-hmm. And to that end, I'd stop doing the Uber because you're putting more miles on your car. You can find other hourly jobs right now that can pay better than Uber and allow you to stock up more money and not be causing, you know, damage to the car and all of the gas money. You can do better on that second, third job.
Like, give me an example, Ken. Well, Target at $20 an hour.
So yeah, take a big box store like a Walmart or Target. You're just looking at $17 to $20 an hour, you know, and you're pulling extra hours
and work all the time.
All the time. Let me tell you something else. As a waitress, let me tell you, restaurants are dying to find people. You go in
a good high end work,
a good nice restaurant where you're going to get good tips.
Yep.
I mean, you're making more of your time. You're not driving that car.
I want you working so much you are freaking exhausted and you have no time to party.
Right.
Yeah, and I was doing that last year. I was doing 80 hours a week in security, and then
security didn't pay anything.
To another. Well, yeah, I was making, I think, 18 hours during security.
Oh, that's better than I thought. Okay, good.
Well, you've done it before. You can do it again, but this is going to be a shorter time span, and you're coming out on the other side debt-free and walking the baby steps, and now you've got financial freedom.
I mean, you should not ever have a boyfriend leave and leave you in a lurch ever again.
Yeah.
Because you've already done that one once. You don't have to do that one again. You should not ever sign up for a 21% interest rate on a car ever again. You've already done that once. You never have to do that one again. See, my goal when I was young, Lee, I did a lot of really stupid things. That's how I can recognize this. I mean, I got a PhD in DUMB. I've done every stupid thing you can do. But my goal was to never do the same stupid thing twice. And so once you've got a whole bunch of stupid things on your resume already and you never do them again, you start to become what they call wise. Because all the stupid stuff's more in your rearview mirror. That's what happened to me.
Yeah, and here's what we
know. Now people ask my advice.
I know, amazing. But you know, here's the deal. You will change when your pain forces you to or your desired future inspires you to. And I think in this case, you got to take both of those, the pain and a desired future for a better life, and put them together and get after it.
Busted. Aren't you going crazy?
Yeah.
Making a lot of money and doing nothing to spend it. Clear this car up, get out of that lease, get you a place where I know your landlord likes you. I bet he likes you. I bet he does. Yeah. Most landlords are getting, no.
He wants to do her a favor for her to sign a longer lease.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy.
I'm going to help you out here. Yeah. Nope. This is The Ramsey Show. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Patrice is with us. Hi, Patrice. How are you?
Hey, Dave.
Good to have you. Where do you live?
Long Island, New York.
Well, welcome to Nashville. All the way here to do a debt-free scream. And how much have you paid off?
$76,000.
All right. And how long did this take you?
2 years and 4 months.
Look at you. Way to go, kiddo. And your range of income during that time?
About $40,000, and my best year during that time was $80,000 with overtime.
Cool. Whoa. What do you do for a living?
USPS, letter carrier.
All right. So you get a lot of OT with that, huh?
A lot of OT. People don't want to come to work, Dave.
They didn't want to come in, so you pick up the extra route.
Yes.
Okay. Because you got the T-shirt says, if you're broke, go to work.
Exactly. Especially when it rains. People don't come to work when it rains.
They don't even like it in the rain?
No.
That's like a USPS thing. You're supposed to deliver the mail in the rain, the sleet, the snow. I mean, whatever, right?
Yeah, you would think.
You would think, but that gives you opportunity.
Absolutely.
You can do whatever you want to do. Pick up. So what's it pay at OT an hour?
After 8 hours, you get time and a half. So my rate is $23. My base rate, so $34.50.
Yeah.
And then after 10 hours, you get double time. So $46.
Yeah, you're reaching for that. I like it.
How many hours were you working in a given week?
Anywhere from minimum 60 to even 72 hours.
Wow.
Sometimes 10 days in a row, breaking all type of labor laws. Just working.
I'm all for some civil disobedience. That's great.
Talk about hustle and grind. You
no
get after
question.
It, kiddo.
Yeah, it's there. It's
what
there.
What kind of debt was the $76,000?
All student loans.
Okay. What's your degree in?
Sociology. And
okay.
I don't use it.
And so now you're a letter carrier.
I'm a letter carrier.
Okay. and you're making money. I'm proud of you. Yeah. Way to go. How'd you get connected up this Ramsey stuff?
Actually, I was doing some work at my uncle's house, and I was like, dude, how do you have this house in Long Island? Like, you know, taxes is crazy. And he goes, I was Davish, and he hands me the book, Total Money Makeover, and he showed me the YouTube videos, and I was just hooked since. And I listen to you every day when I'm on the route, you and John, Ken, and it keeps me going.
Wow.
Wow, that's right.
I'll be thinking about that next time I'm on the microphone here.
I know.
Somewhere there's a letter carrier in Long Island. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Way to go.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Where did you go to school? I'm sitting here and I'm going, a sociology degree and $76,000 in student loans. I'm just curious.
I started off at Nassau Community and I transferred. I was there for 4 years, so I was there pretty long. And then I transferred to City College, and I wanted to live closer to campus, so the apartments there in New York City are pretty expensive. So I took out the maximum $10,000 per semester. And I actually didn't start paying off. I graduated in 2012. I didn't pay off till recently. So all that time, all that
It was just laying there building up.
Yeah.
It's just a true penalty. Yeah. It really is that. And good for you. You just said, I'm over it.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for you guys, I probably would still have that debt. Because where I live and my family, just people have debt. So it really was normal.
It's kind of like everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. By the way. Yeah, it's normal everywhere. Not just with you, but way to go. Yeah.
What are you dreaming about?
Because you're young. What do you want to do now? Because you could do anything, man. Yeah. You got the stuff, girl.
I want to get into real estate too, but like you preach, you have to cash flow. And then I listen to people at my job, and they buy stuff on credit. They drive around BMWs, and they
don't work their shift.
No, they don't.
That's really true.
In fact, some of them got repoed. But I definitely, I dream just to be a homeowner and be a babysat millionaire.
I think you're on your way.
One more thing I want to add, that with the post office, they have a TSP, which is really good. And I'm doing 15% right now. And
they got the Roth TSP now, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
drop it in that C-plan.
Yeah.
I like it.
CNS. I did pretty good last month.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And people at my job say, well, I got kids and I can't put that much in them. Like, well, stop going. They order lunch. And they order, I bring my lunch to work. They'll go out and order food.
You were eating in the car a lot, weren't
you?
Yeah,
I always bring my lunch. They call me the cheapest one in the office, but
You're the richest one, too.
Yeah.
You're the debt-free one, yeah, for sure. Everything's paid off 100%. How's it feel to be free?
It feels great. I get to come to the Dave Ramsey show on a random Tuesday and call out of work. So, yeah. I could do whatever I want, basically, yeah.
Yeah, you got choices now. That's what it gives you. And you can choose a different career. You can choose to make the most of this career. You can choose a lot of different things. And what's interesting about your story is that you took power. You walked out of this very powerfully. You have a lot of power now that you didn't have.
Yeah, Dr. John DeLoney.
You believe in you, right?
Yeah, he talks about carrying on these book bag bricks in your book bag, and it definitely felt like that. You walk around life and you're like, I got all this debt. How am I gonna? And you're just going through life. But now it's like I put the book bag down. I own my life now. And I could do whatever I want. I don't even have to work for the post office come 10 more years. Once I get my 401k up, I plan on maybe buying a laundromat or something. I don't know. All these thoughts come in my head, but I could do whatever I want now.
And you know how to do it now.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dave, the dreams will continue to flood through your head because now there's no limits.
Yeah.
So people that are in debt have a hard time dreaming. And there's no telling what's going to come out of that head and heart of yours. And you're going to do some incredible stuff. You really are.
This one's special, right?
There's
a work ethic. There's a swagger.
Yeah.
You're going somewhere.
Like you said, Dave, there's money out there. You just got to go get it. It's America, man.
I got goosebumps, man. I literally have goosebumps right now. Say it again from the back.
If I can do it, when I started working at the post office, I wasn't even a career employee, meaning I didn't have any benefits. I was making $17 an hour. But with the hard work and overtime, man, I was able to make way more than that. So anybody out there listening, you guys can do it no matter what you're doing, no matter how little money you're making per hour. I paid off $76,000, and the way I was able to do that was I actually broke it up into 10,000 markers. So every $10,000, in my head, I was like, all right, I'm one step closer. And to be honest, the last probably like 7,000 was the hardest because you're right there, but
Yeah, it's harder to finish it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
Your why. you have to have a reason at the end.
What's yours?
Mine was to get a house.
Wow.
To be a homeowner.
Good dream.
Yeah. And
like your uncle, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How'd you get this house? Reading this book. I like it. Yeah. Very cool.
Thank you, Dave.
You're amazing. Yeah. You're amazing. I'm so proud of you. I'm honored to get to meet you. Very cool. I have an easy prediction to make. This one's going to leave a wake.
Oh, no question about it. So impressive.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, we got the Live and Give bundle for you. That's the Baby Steps Millionaires book, the prediction of your future, and the Total Money Makeover book to give away to someone that you run into like you a few years ago. Very cool. And Financial Peace University, if you've not done it yet, you should do it. If you have, then give it to somebody and pay it forward here and help people get moving. So I'm so proud of you. Very, very, very well done. You're amazing. Let me ask you this. Who was your biggest cheerleader? Uncle?
Honestly, the podcast. Like I said, I listen to it every day on my route. I'm out there every day listening, and it's what kept me going. Because a lot of people don't understand when you tell them. They just, man, what do you mean?
Yeah, they don't.
What do you mean? Just put it on a credit card.
When your broke friends are making fun of your financial plan, you know you're right on track. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff, Patrice. You're amazing. Well done. Patrice from Long Island, $76,000 paid off in 2 years and 4 months. Making 40 to 80 with some serious OT. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1. I'm debt-free!
Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Wow!
It's a masterclass in momentum. You know, she said, all right, I'm gonna tackle the first 10.
Believing you can.
Yeah, and just getting after it.
Believing you can and then doing it. Oh, man. It's just powerful.
It really is.
Powerful. Makes us glad we're here on these microphones every day.
So true. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking for a second. Everybody wants to drive Uber, and I'm not knocking Uber at all. But here we're talking about a postal courier making $40 an hour at certain points when she's double time.
Ding, ding.
Come on.
This is The Ramsey Show. Our scripture of the day, James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Samuel Coleridge said, common sense in an uncommon degree is what the world calls wisdom. Ooh, I like it. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Drew is in Atlanta. Hi, Drew. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Ken.
Hey, what's up?
Call. Well, I'm just looking for some general financial advice. I'm willing to buy a house, but I'm also trying to plan for retirement. You know, I want to be a millionaire when I retire, like everybody else, but I have about $260,000 saved up in cash. I don't have any debt. My car is paid for, but it is about 10 years old. Still runs fine, but I know I'm going to need another one in the near future probably. But just kind of trying to figure out, should I throw all of my money or most of it at a house to try to buy it in cash, or should I take some of it to try to start investing? Because right now, as far as retirement goes, all I have is my 401k. It's got about $100,000 in it.
How old are you?
Starting to try to... 36, sir.
Man, you're doing great. Congratulations. Where'd you get $250,000?
I just save a lot. Try to live on little, you know.
You're single?
Yes, sir.
What's your income?
Before taxes, it's probably like $70,000, anywhere from $65,000 to $70,000, depending. That's before taxes and 401k and everything comes out.
You're just a savings maniac. I love it. Way to go, man. You've done great. I'm proud of you. Excellent job.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a nuclear medicine technologist.
I'm just curious, what's the ladder look like for you financially? What does it look above you? What does it look like above you?
There's no real ladder. It's just, you know, occasional raises. They're pretty small raises.
Okay. All right. I hadn't heard that title before. That sounds very impressive.
Okay, good
for
you.
There's only 14,000 of us in the country, so it's not extremely common.
Okay,
excellent. Well, What would I do if I woke up in your shoes and I had $100,000 in my 401k? I'm 36 years old. I make $70,000. I got $250,000, $260,000 in the bank. I would set aside an emergency fund out of that of 3 to 6 months of expenses, and I would buy a house.
The rest of it, the house.
Yeah, all of it. And
then
I would, if that doesn't buy the house with cash, which it might not in Atlanta, okay, then it, you know, you finish paying off the house as your next big goal. And as soon, while you're putting 15% of your income away towards retirement and into good, into your 401k, into good growth stock mutual funds, Roth 401k preferable, and, you know, you keep doing that baby step four, 15% of your income into the four types of mutual funds we're talking about around here all the time. And get the, if you take out a little bit, let's say you took out a put down $240,000 and you took out a $60,000 loan and you got a $300,000 house, right? And you pay that off, and and you pay that off very, very quickly. And then once you've done that, then you're headed towards being a millionaire very quickly, because you got the real estate going up in value, and now you're going to load up your 401k and your Roth IRAs and do your longer term investing until you get to that million. But that's going to put you there in probably 5 years.
About 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about how far out.
So should I look at? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Should I look at investing any money now through like a firm like Edward Jones or something?
Not beyond 15%. 15% of your income going into 401k. If you're going to take out a small mortgage, your next goal is put it all on the mortgage.
Okay.
Until your house is paid off. When that's paid off, then get with a SmartVestor Pro at RamseySolutions.com. Find somebody to help you do investing, and you do your Roth IRAs, and you max those out, and you max out everything you can put over at work, not just 15%. And, you know, then we figure out what we're going to do beyond that, if you want to do even more, because you're just, you just love saving money. But that's where I would start, and that's going to get you there very, very, very quickly. You're going to be amazed, because, you know, 7 years from today, you, if you're doing all of that, you're going to have $300,000 or $400,000 saved in just your retirement alone, and you're going to have a paid for, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 house at that point.
Yeah, and I would also say it, you're a saver, so start saving now to replace that car. You know, because it's you said it's running fine, but it's older and it's putting on some age. So again, plan for that, and you're going to be great.
Kevin is in Denver. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Hey, so I'm having some issues kind of budgeting with my career. I just started a new career about 2 years ago, started my own business, and it's peaking in the summer times and it's pretty dead in the winter times. So I picked up a second job in the winter to help kind of pay for things, but I'm having some issues with my work van. It's my only vehicle, and they say it needs a whole new engine in it. So they're quoting me about $5,000 for that, which is a lot more than the van is worth. So kind of trying to see how to get around that without taking out a loan to get a new vehicle.
Now, take it you have no money.
Yep. I don't have too much debt, about $23,000 in debt.
On what?
We have about, I owe $10,000 to my aunt. She helped me pay for my farrier school. It's the career I started, the new trade that I started. She helped me pay for that, so I owe her money for that. And then I owe about $5,000 from student loans that I used to have when I went to college for the year that I went. And then the rest is credit cards, only about $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are you doing as your side job?
Deliver packages for Amazon.
What's that pay?
About $20 an hour, $20.75.
And you use your car?
No, I use their vans.
Okay. All right. And you have absolutely no money?
Probably have $1,000.
Okay. All right. I'd sell your van as is and take the money with that and put the $1,000 with it and get me a little car to get around for right now. And then I would work like a crazy person this winter to put together the money to buy a $5,000 van by spring.
Okay.
and then let's get this right. debt paid off and start working through your debts from there. But I want you working like all the time.
Yes, sir.
Like so all the time.
3 hours at Amazon right now, and then I do horses in the morning when I have time on the weekends.
30 hours?
40 hours.
Oh, we need to do a lot more than that.
Yes, sir.
You need to be gone all the time. You're broke, man.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
You need some money, and I don't know where to get money except from work.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely.
What are you making in the farrier business?
Last year, I didn't have a second job. I made just under $40,000. Probably most of that is during the summer months. Probably get around $6,000 to $7,000 during.
Yeah. So if you made $40,000 in the winter, working like your tail off, and $40,000 in the summer, that's an $80,000 income, mm-hmm. right? And you can get this debt cleaned up with that, and get a cash fan for $5,000, but. Yeah, I mean, you don't need a fancy van, because you're going to beat the snot out of it anyway.
Yeah, that's why I got a 2006 Chevy cargo van right now, and I already had 170,000 miles.
Yeah, so that thing's going to bring $1,000 like it sits, or maybe $1,500 like it sits, with no engine in it, and mm-hmm. it's salvage, and you put your $1,000 with it, you buy a $2,500 car to get you through the winter. Just to get back and forth to Amazon's all you got to do, because you're going to be working all the time.
Yep, and I still have private clients for horses in the wintertime, too, so that's kind of the issue with just a car.
Yeah, okay, then we're going to get a really junky $2,000 van instead of a car.
Gotcha.
But pay cash for it, no payments. You don't need any more payments. You got enough payments.
No, sir, I've never paid for a car. I always pay cash for a car.
But you didn't everything else. Everything else you went in debt for. So we've got to get rid of the payment plan here. Let's get this stuff cleaned up, dude. Hey, well done, Kevin. Appreciate you calling in. We're here to help you if you need more. Ken Coleman, good show.
Thank you, sir.
That puts this hour of the Ramsey Show in the books. Our thanks to Austin, Ben, James, Zach, and Andrew in the booth. The booth dudes did it again. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Hey, it's Ken. If you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey baby steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click on the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. Again, that's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.